The church has placed the book of Revelation at the very end of the Bible as a culmination of the entire biblical story, precisely because of its relevance for Christians everywhere, at every time, very much including ourselves. It's not a book of horror, a book of terror that talks about the end of the world, but it's a book of promise and the book of hope. Something of central importance is revealed in this book, and that which was hidden is now revealed to each and every one of us. And everything has to do with Jesus. Everything has to do with his passion, his dying, and his rising from the dead. And that's why we read it this year during the Easter season. And today's reading from Revelation, John is in the midst of a heavenly liturgy in the heavenly courts. He sees angels and elders and living creatures and countless number of all people from every place and every space and every time, all standing around the throne, crying out in loud praise. This is a supreme liturgical act. This is Mass at its highest, at its bestest. All the people come together, and there's praise and worship, and they're praising and worshiping God in right worship, because that's what they've done all through their lives. All through their lives, those who are gathered together, they have allowed themselves to worship in spirit and in truth. They heard the invitation of Jesus Christ to come follow him, the invitation of God, "Do you love me?" And they answered, "Yes." And they continue to this day as they praise and glorify God and giving their unconditional yes. And who do they worship? Well, they don't worship a mighty prince. They don't worship a great warrior or a cosmic force, but the Lamb, and more precisely, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that's who they gather together to worship and praise and to glorify forever and always. And the church, for the church, they see this evening sacrifice as the perfect act of praise. And now the cosmic church is gathered together around it, associating itself with the Lamb of God. And what we do here on Sundays and what we do here during the week is connected to that liturgical action in heaven. And we are drawn into that relationship, a holy relationship, where we are not servants, we are not strangers, but we are friends of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ today in the gospel, and I love this reading, it's a powerful reading, an awesome reading, meets the disciples once again at the Sea of Galilee. And the setting is just like the very first time that the apostles meet Jesus Christ. And he invites them to cast the net out on the other side of the boat. "From now on, you'll be fishers of men and women." And the invitation is now different, though. It's very, very different because the disciples have had this revelation. They have had this aha moment. They've experienced the Paschal mystery, the passion and the dying and the rising of Jesus Christ. They've experienced the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. They've witnessed his glory. They've witnessed the kinship that he has with the Father in heaven. And Jesus asks, though, each and every one of us, just as he does the apostles today, to continue on in that relationship. And he looks at Peter, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Well, of course, Lord, you know I love you." And he asks that question again, "Do you love me?" And of course, Peter's getting a little bit upset here. "Do you love me?" And Peter doesn't know what to say. "You know all things, Lord," he says. "You know everything. You know that I love you. Then feed my sheep. Tend to the flock. Take care of those entrusted to each and every one of you." And it sounds easy to do. It sounds simple. But as we grow older, we know how difficult it is to remain faithful to the call that we receive, to remain faithful to those relationships that we have been entrusted to remain faithful as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because so often, we get distracted by stuff and yuck and gunk that has nothing to do with God or godliness or his church. We get distracted by things that do not always bode well in the mission and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We allow sin and evil and pettiness and jealousy, all these things, destroy what we are about, destroy that relationship that we have with God, that relationship that we have with one another. And we don't always listen to that question, and we don't always answer the question, do you love me? Because we become distracted. I love telling the story in my home parish zillions of years ago. These two women had this fist fight during the parish festival because one woman had always counted the money. This is my job. I've always had this job, counting the money during the parish festival. And when the new person came in, Father said, I can count the money now for 4 hours. No, this is my job. I've always done this job. And there was this huge fist fight between these two women. I think that in and of itself would have been a sight to see, to be sure. But what the sad part about that story, is that this person had such ownership, if you will, that she was doing this not for ministry. She was doing this task not because she wanted to serve the church or serve God or anything about God. It was about, this is my thing, this is my area, my stuff. No one else can trample into my zone. And that's the challenge each and every one of us has in all of our relationships, whether it be the church or whether it be our families and our relationships and our community. We are called to recognize that we are invited to answer that question affirmatively. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And when we are able to answer that, then we are able to recognize if we always act out of love, act out of compassion and kindness and generosity, we are able to say, it is the Lord. To respond accordingly. After the ascension, the apostles were sent out on mission without the bodily presence of Jesus Christ, but inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that remains part of the gift of the apostles and the gift that we have as well. And this gift confirms not only their friendship, but our unity and community of God through Jesus Christ. They know everything about the man they loved, and they're able to act just as he did. And then when we allow ourselves to love more, to allow ourselves to enter into that loving relationship, we also, that revelation comes to us as well, that God's presence is unveiled before each and every one of us. And what's our mission? What's our ministry? It's very, very simple. And it's been the mission and ministry of the church for 2,000 years, to proclaim good news, to heal, to comfort, to forgive. These are the basics of the church. These are the basics of Christian life and our life in the church as well. That's our duty. That's our task. That's our mission and ministry as a people of God. We have to make this transition, though, from servant to friend. We have to continue to work on the life of Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus Christ. Many of us remember the very first time we heard that call to discipleship. It might have been at some kind of retreat. Maybe it was at a high school retreat or a tech retreat or something in college. Maybe it was a charismatic teacher. Maybe it was a profound spiritual encounter that communicated Christ Jesus to us. Whatever it was, that the invitation each and every one of us is real and tangible when we hear those words, follow me. Because such service is not only satisfying, but it's exciting on its own. And the question that we have to answer each and every day of our lives, we have to hear the voice of Jesus Christ ask that question, do you love me? And when we offer our renewed yes, then we enhance and we strengthen and encourage that friendship that we have with Christ Jesus and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ as well. We take up his mission with his own spirit and we go forth to feed the sheep, to tend to the flock. Listen to Jesus today. Come follow me. Amen.